This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment, we're going to be talking about landlord-tenant laws, issues, and disputes. And you'll be able to, if you're listening to us live, call in with your questions, your comments. This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. And it's my pleasure to have back two really, really, I consider them stars, landlord-tenant stars. They are incredibly experienced. So I hope you who are listening to us live will take advantage of having them here. They are Mark Seidenfeld, who has law offices in San Bruno, and Salvatore Timpano, who has law offices in San Francisco. And gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, pleasure. Chuck.
Wonderful to have you here. There's a lot going on in San Francisco. It's kind of specific to San Francisco, but I think we should talk about it for a minute or two or whatever. Long-term tenants are being evicted by landlords. What's going on, Mark, and why are you doing this?
Well, personally, I haven't been. Not very much, anyway. San Francisco is gentrifying. There are new people coming into the city with lots of money, buying real estate, and they want to live in that real estate. That means evicting the people who are living in that real estate now. And one of the ways to do that, there is a thing called an owner move-in, which is legal under the San Francisco Rent Ordinance. But sometimes the landlord doesn't want to be a landlord anymore and wants to evict all the tenants in a building to take it off the market. Sometimes they're planning on selling it as condos, sometimes as tenancies in common. And there's a state law called the Ellis Act that allows landlords to do that. And there's been much ado in San Francisco in the recent past about the Ellis Act. In my opinion, it's overstated. In the whole city, last year, there were 116 Ellis Act notices recorded. Given the thousands of units that exist in the city,
that's very small.
It's a very, very small number. Mm-hmm. And not all of those notices actually ended up in evictions either.
So what's the obligation of the landlord in San Francisco to in giving long-term tenants notice to leave? If a long-term tenant has, let's say, a written lease, let's say it's a 3-year lease, and this is now year one or year two, is the landlord prevented from evicting those people?
Yes, because the lease has priority.
I see.
The landlord can do it once it becomes a month-to-month tenancy when the lease expires.
So if the landlord wants to evict these people, what's the consequence in San Francisco?
Well, besides public opprobrium, the landlord has to pay a relocation expense, which until recently was something like $5,200 per person up to a total per unit, I think, of $13,000 or $14,000, and it could be more if there were tenants who are handicapped or elderly and had lived there a certain number of years, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But now San Francisco is trying to enact, actually has enacted a statute that says the landlord would have to pay the difference between the rent the tenant is paying now and a comparable unit in the city, pay the difference for 24 months.
So give us a simple example.
Right now, let's say there are two people living there. The landlord might have to pay $10,500. Mm-hmm. Under this, if someone's living in a $2,000 a month apartment because it's under rent control and a comparable unit would rent for $4,000, you're talking about $2,000 a month times 24 months.
That's $48,000.
That's a lot of money. And a lot of units in San Francisco are renting for very small amounts because tenants have been there forever, and those units could now be renting for thousands of dollars. So it could be a very, very large hit on a landlord.
Is this going to be, do you think, challenged by landlords generally? Are we going to see some lawsuits on this where the landlords are saying, gee, this seems to be perhaps even unconstitutional?
We could call it extortion.
Yes,
a lawsuit has been filed in U.S. District Court, Northern District of California, which is in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And it will take time, as lawsuits do, to work its way through the system. But the challenge is already there.
What do you have any thought on this? Any feeling for what may happen? Yeah.
Anyone who tries to predict what will happen in a lawsuit is treading on thin ground.
Yeah, okay. All right. What about the rest of the state? The Ellis Act is a statewide act, but we're talking. You've just given us an example of what the rent ordinance, the rent board, or the rent board is doing in San Francisco, in connection with the Ellis Act. What's going on, generally speaking, in the rest of the state? Is there anything like this going on, Sal?
Well, the Ellis Act was drafted as a response to counties that have rent control administrations, because those rent control or rent stabilization administrations don't allow landlords to treat their property the same way that landlords in other parts of the state can treat their property. It's an additional layer of laws or ordinances, as they're called, that a landlord must comply with. So in San Francisco, a tenant is actually a lifetime tenant. And unless they breach the lease or provide just cause reasons to the landlord for an eviction, then they can't be evicted. Mm-hmm. So they essentially have a guaranteed lifetime estate in the property. Other parts of the state that don't have a rent control ordinance don't need the protection of the Ellis Act for their landlords, mm-hmm. because the landlords and the tenants can freely opt out of the contract. So once they're on a month-to-month contract, a landlord can terminate the tenancy with proper notice, usually within 1 or 2 months, as the tenant can. Now, in San Francisco, the tenant can terminate the tenancy within 1 or 2 months, but the landlord cannot.
Cannot.
So the Ellis Act came in to say, we're going to allow landlords to get out of business if that's what they want to do. And then San Francisco adds additional requirements to the use of that state law. Mm-hmm. So in other parts of the state, the Ellis Act is probably not too popular, probably not affecting those counties, because landlords and tenants don't need it in order to engage in their landlord-tenant relationship.
And if I may, just to clarify, if in other parts of the state, because the first half hour of Your Legal Rights is the statewide version of the program that is heard throughout the state. So if a tenant has a 2-year lease, for example, and the landlord and the tenant is paying the rent, the tenant is not creating any kind of a problem whatsoever, the landlord then, under the Ellis Act, cannot evict them.
Correct, because as Mark said, the contract or the lease for its term would take precedence. It's first. Once you're in a month-to-month situation, then there can be changes made to the tenancy, including termination of the tenancy.
Yes.
You can't make any changes to a lease until it expires or turns into a month-to-month, because you can't make changes that take place within that original term.
Mm-hmm.
So when an Ellis Act is used for a property, it's because all the leases are on month-to-month tenancies.
Mark, let me come back to you for just a moment before we take a brief break. What are tenants who are being evicted in San Francisco, even though there may be significant payments that are required, where are they going? They're not staying in San Francisco, are they?
People are doing things like doubling up, tripling up, quadrupling up, but people are leaving the city. People are moving to the East Bay in particular, to Oakland and San Leandro and other places in the East Bay, Antioch, Richmond. There is an excess.
Would you say tenants generally who are being affected by this are very, very unhappy with what's going on?
I would imagine so, yes.
Even though they may get thousands of dollars.
It's not a question of the money. It's people live in a community. They've grown up there, perhaps. Their life is there, friends, neighbors.
Well, sure.
And all of a sudden they have to leave and they can't afford to get a new place. I mean, it is a major upset.
I would think so. You have to move everything. Yeah. You leave your friends. Maybe you leave other family members who may be in other places.
Exactly.
It's tough.
It is.
All right. For those of you who would like to talk to my guests, I see that we have someone on line one. Do we have someone who will join us on the air here, Martin? Who do we have here? What's the name? Trini.
Hey.
Hey. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. First of all, I'm not a resident of San Francisco. I'm in the South Bay. So are any of those Ellis laws applicable to me?
What county do you live in?
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara. Does Santa Clara have a rent ordinance?
each city has its own. I know San Jose has some ordinance. I'm not familiar with it. I honestly don't know about the city of Santa Clara, though.
I don't either, Chuck. I'm not sure.
But what is your question? What is your concern?
The question is, I've been renting this home for about 8 years, the one I just had to vacate. After 8 years, they came back and said they want to sell the property and gave me 1 month notice. I was quite unhappy with the disruption, but the point is, I mean, was there an extra time allocated for me? And you mentioned some obscene amount of money, like 24 months or 2,400. So was there any money that I could have extracted out of the situation?
When did you get your notice?
Just 1 month ago, so we had to vacate. And
So are you out of the property now?
I'm already out, yeah.
Okay. Here's what I would suggest to you, frankly, at this point, to see if you do have any rights that you might be able to make work for you. I think you should contact the Santa Clara County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and see if you can get an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants, and half an hour consultation. I think it'll only cost you $35. I think it's a very good investment on your part to find out what rights you may have had in Santa Clara, and find out if there is anything that you may. That may benefit you. Did you, by the way, did the owner of this property or the landlord of this property offer you any money to leave?
No, none.
None, absolutely none. Now, Mark has something to say.
If you've lived there for 8 years, the landlord should have served you with a 60-day notice, not a 30-day notice.
Ah. So you do have some rights. And you can probably sue the landlord for some value, even in small claims court. Sal, do you have something?
I had a question. Is your rent under rent control? Do you know if your rent is controlled?
I don't think he knows that.
Okay. Has your rent ever been raised in the 8 years control. That you've been there?
Eight years. I'm not sure I know if there was a rent control in place.
I see.
Has your rent ever been raised in the 8 years that you were there?
Yes, it was a couple of times.
Okay. All right. And how much were those rent increases?
They were a couple of hundred dollars, I would say.
Okay. If there is a rent ordinance in your county, then those might be, in 8 years' time, that seems high in comparison to what it would be in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But all rent ordinances are different. So you need to find out if there's a rent ordinance there. You can do a Google search, too, and you can call the city hall, and they'll tell you.
Assuming what we've been told, that he only got a 30-day notice, and Mark, you said that under the law, this is state law now.
Yes.
You're required to be given a 60-day notice.
If the tenancy...
So he's deprived of 30 days.
If the tenancy's been there for more than a year, which clearly was the case here, it has to be a 60-day notice.
What kind of potential damages would... What kind of formula is there in something like this? Do you have any suggestions on that?
I don't think there's a formula if he could possibly show some damage. The problem is proving damages. Uh-huh. If he moved to a place that has a higher rent, an equivalent place, and has to pay it for an extra month because he didn't get 60 days, conceivably the difference for that month
could
might be
that
the
damages. Extra month.
Exactly. But it's probably not that much money. It's probably small claims.
Let me ask you this. What is your name again?
Srini.
Okay. What in terms of what you were paying at your last place that you were terminated on, what's the difference in rent? How much were you paying?
Oh, no, my life has been completely impacted. I mean, I couldn't find anything in a comparable range, so I went for a purchase. I actually had to buy, I scaled down and I bought a two-bedroom townhome in place of the single-family home I was renting. So it's been life-impacting, basically, yeah.
Mark, what do you say?
I think you've just destroyed your case. If you had moved to a place, then you couldn't find someplace at the same price or close, and you had to pay a lot more rent, that would be the difference, would be damages. But the fact that you went out and bought a place, I think, kind of destroys any argument for damages there.
But I still suggest to you, Srini, I think you should, for the future, and there may be some value to you at this point, I think in that your investment for a half an hour consultation with a tenant's attorney, $35, I think that's probably what the lawyer referral service charges down there. I think you should do it.
I will do it. Thank
you
so much.
I think you should, and maybe it will be of some benefit to you. So I hope you can, okay?
Sure. Thank you so much.
Good luck to you. I'm very glad that you called. We have a number of people calling. I'd like to know who's next up because I want to take these calls as quickly as possible. And let's get going on this so I know who's on line number two. Let me have someone's name. Let's have line number two. Here we go. And it is Dog Pain. Dog Pain.
No, dog is Dog Paw.
Dog Paw, sorry.
Yes, I'm a native San Franciscan. I've been here 57 laps around the sun. And I've been living at this place here on in the Mission District for 31 years yesterday. And just last week, Thursday, I got my 60 days notice to terminate tenancy.
Yeah.
And they are proposing to permanently remove my rental unit from housing use because, okay, where I live, it's a flat. I'm upstairs. They're downstairs. My building just got sold, and it's an owner move-in. They evicted my neighbor and her kids and the cat and the piano and everything. It was very, very sad to see. And it turns out that where I live, my home for 31 years, nobody ever told me until just when I received this, is an illegal unit. These places here, these buildings were split up either during World War II or shortly thereafter World War II. Building was built in 1883.
Wow.
And apparently somebody forgot to tell the people that they should tell that, hey, we're going to split this building up, okay? And so they're going to evict me and demolish the property. So it's not an Ellis Act eviction.
Okay.
And I'm just running around. I had to go down to the building inspector to get a legible copy of their building permit, which was approved back in August 15th. No one ever tacked anything on my door. No one mentioned anything ever, anytime, about all of this, and just kind of sprang it on me last Thursday. And that's what's going on.
Is there a relatively new ownership of your building?
That is correct. It's an owner move in. They bought the building September 13th on a Friday.
I see.
So, you know.
Well, let me see if I can get some comments for you and see what suggestions there might be. What do you do for a living?
I'm a visual artist.
Are you? Okay. And what are you paying? What are you paying in terms of rent?
Slightly over $1,000.
Is it?
$1,002.
$1,002. Okay. Mark, let me start with you.
Sure. There are literally thousands, probably tens of thousands, of illegal units in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
The city has known about them forever, but has decided not to do anything about them until recently because they provide housing for people and people need places to live.
Mm-hmm.
The city has finally come up with a proposal after years of discussion to allow landlords to legalize these units. The problem is most of these units cannot be legalized because they don't comply with the codes. They don't have windows. They don't have the proper plumbing, the proper kitchens. They don't have the ceilings aren't high enough. And it's just all sorts of things that makes them ineligible typically for legalization. Having said that, though, it is technically illegal for a landlord to receive rent for an illegal unit.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the landlord is entitled to receive the fair market value. So conceivably, you could go and say to your landlord, I want all the rent that I've paid for the past how many years back.
Mm-hmm.
And the landlord, after getting over his heart attack, would probably say something like, you were paying below market rent the whole time, and you should be paying me more money. So you might want to consult an attorney who specializes in representing tenants, because conceivably you might have a case.
Yeah, I was down at the Tenderloin housing clinic just today, and I was told that I do in fact have a case, and we're just getting all these wheels turning because I've been here for 31 years, that's a long time. time. And so would it be ran for 31 years? No.
Well, I hesitate to express an opinion about that. Uh-huh. I will say that your action would be against the prior landlord, the prior owner that you were paying the money to.
Not against the new not against the new owner.
No. I mean, it's assuming that they've gone about it right, they have a right to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
But certainly I would go after, well, at least consider going after the old owner with a good tenant attorney, definitely.
What does the Tenderloin Clinic do for you, if anything, Dog Paw? Do you know?
Well, this was my first time over there. I have a friend, Rene Yanez, who's also a visual artist. He and his partner are being evicted as well. He referred me to them. And
Okay, I have a suggestion for you also, because you need to try to educate yourself as best you can. I think you should call the lawyer referral service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, which is one of the funders of this program, and get an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants. Mm-hmm. For half an hour, you'll pay $35. I think it's a great investment, and maybe it will give you some insight as to where you think you may want to go with this. Would you like the number?
Sure.
415, of course, 989-1616, 989-1616. And I think you should give them a call and try to get an appointment as soon as you can so you know what's going on and try to plan a little something. Are you a member of KALW?
No, I'm not. But, you know, I'll tell you, when I was in high school, that was our in-house radio station. I went to John O'Connell.
Oh, yes. Well, that's where I used to do the program.
Oh, wow.
Of course. Yeah.
I heard you earlier say that you've been doing broadcasting for 31 years?
More than that.
Oh, okay.
Since 1979.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did a little microphone work over at our friends over in Berkeley.
Well, you're facing some financial problems, but let me make some suggestion to you.
Okay.
I think it would be helpful to you to take a look at, and you can find it probably in your local public library in the consumer section, take a look at NOLO's California Tenants' Rights. It's NOLO is the publisher, N-O-L-O. The book is California Tenants' Rights. It should be in the consumer section of the public library. Take a look at that and start to educate yourself, and I hope you will call Lawyer Referral and get a half an hour consultation and then see what that may do for you. Good luck to you.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having this really fine program.
Yeah, Dog Paw, thanks for listening.
Oh, and thank you for listening as well.
Of course. Take care now.
All right, have a good evening.
All right.
Bye.
Patrick, we've got about 2 minutes for you. What do you have? Patrick, are you there? Hello, Patrick. Patrick, we've turned him off. Okay, let's try Richard. Richard, are you there?
Yes, Richard's here.
All right, go ahead, Richard. You're on the air.
Yes, we recently inherited a single-family residence in San Francisco, and there are tenants in the building now. However, we're the new owners, and we're looking to put the house on the market and sell it.
Is there a lease on the, property?
No, there is no lease. The tenants were paying month to month.
Ah, very interesting. And that's in San Francisco.
That is in San Francisco, yes. Well, they've been there, you know, quite a while. But
Yeah.
So we're the new owners.
No, I understand. Let me do this. What I want to make sure is that my guests cannot give specific legal advice. The State Bar of California does not permit that, but maybe they can give you some direction. Mark.
The problem is that given good behavior, as you heard Sal say earlier in this program, tenants in San Francisco have lifetime tenancies.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you are the new owner and you want to sell is not one of the just causes in the rent ordinance to evict a tenant. Unfortunately.
So that home would be under the control of the rent ordinance?
I'm assuming that it is. How old is the house?
Approximately 50 years.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
It's covered by the rent ordinance.
Yeah.
It is conceivable that you could raise the rent, because if it's a true single-family home with no illegal in-laws in there, like most houses in San Francisco seem to have, you're not covered by the rent control portion of the rent ordinance, and you could raise the rent. But as far as evicting them, I think you're going to have a rough one on that.
I too, Richard, on this one would suggest, because this is a very significant asset that you now have inherited.
Yes.
I think what you need to do, if I may suggest this, either talk with your friends, relatives, et cetera, see if they've ever had an attorney who represents landlords. If not, I think you should call the lawyer referral service for the Bar Association of San Francisco. Make an appointment. Ask to have an appointment with an attorney who represents landlords in landlord-tenant matters. Mm-hmm. Start with half an hour consultation. It's really important, I think, that you do this.
Well, thank you very much. That's very good advice.
Okay.
One quick question.
Can
we go to the tenants? Can we go to the tenants and sit down with them and have coffee? And I mean, they're very nice people. And say, look, here's the situation,
sure.
And then make them an offer to move.
Of course, out? Of course, you can.
Absolutely.
Of course, you can.
Yeah,
of course, you can. Why don't you hold on for just a minute?
Thank you.
Okay, everybody, we're back. We're back with the program now, and. I want to give you the phone number if you'd like to talk to my guests on the air, 1-415-841-4134. There's a question that was brought in to me by Joanne, and that is regarding Richard. You still with us, Richard?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're a good man. Good man.
And I'm a member.
Yeah. Oh, good for you, Richard. I'd like to hear that. Richard, as a new owner, now here's the question. Can't he evict the tenants under the Ellis Act? Question mark. He's getting out of the landlord-tenant business. Mark, how about that?
The problem with the Ellis Act is there are restrictions on re-renting that place for a considerable period of time that would be binding on the new owners as well.
Oh, really?
So if he were to sell the property to somebody who wanted to live in it for the next 20 years, he wouldn't have a problem. But if he was going to sell it to somebody who was simply buying it as an investment and might want to rent it out, I would very strongly advise him not to do it. Frankly, I would advise him not to do anything, even approach the tenants about a buyout without talking to a landlord attorney first, because these are treacherous waters, and it's not something you want to do on your own.
Yeah, I must say I agree with that. I think the first step is to call a lawyer from the lawyer referral service, as Chuck had mentioned earlier.
Thank you very much. That's very good advice.
Yeah, Richard, it's really this is a very significant asset for you, and you want to make sure you don't make any mistakes. So good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This segment, as I mentioned at the top of the program, is funded by the San Mateo County Bar Association. It also has a lawyer referral service, and you can call your own if you're down there in San Mateo County, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. Ask to have an appointment with an attorney for half an hour, and it'll cost you $35. That money, by the way, does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service, whether it's San Francisco, whether it's San Mateo County, whether it's any other bar referral service throughout the state of California. It goes to the bar referral service to keep that service going. It's a great opportunity for you to get some basic information, whether you're in the San Francisco Bay Area or somewhere else in California. Okay, Mike, I want to let you know who my guests are. I have two stars here. Excellent and very experienced landlord-tenant attorneys, Sal Timpano, who has offices in San Francisco, Mark Seidenfeld, who has offices in San Bruno. I think, Mark, you and I have been doing programs together for well in excess of 10 years. Isn't it true?
It's been a long time, yes.
And, Sal, we've been doing it for several years, right?
About 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
So these guys, I have great faith in them. And if you would like to call in with a question, a comment, or whatever, this is now the opportunity for you, 415-841-4134. Here's what a caller suggests. A residence such as Dog Paws could fall under protections afforded very old structures. Is this a possibility? Somebody's using a lot of brain power out there.
Well,
is this a possibility?
This is why you want to talk to a lawyer.
Yeah.
But no, if the unit is illegal, it's illegal.
Even though it may be ancient, it's not going to be covered by a Heritage Act or something like that.
No.
All right. Seems real unlikely.
Nice try, whoever's scratching their head on this one. Lizzie, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Lizzie, are you there? What is going on? Lizzie, are you there? Hello. All right, let's try Jeff. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for taking the call, and I appreciate the program. I've enjoyed it for a good number
good,
of years.
Well, good, glad you have.
I am a tenant in a, I believe, non-rent-controlled building built in 89. On a month-to-month lease, my wife and son and I have lived here for 13 years. Mm. Our landlord is a woman who lives out of state, bought the place when it was first built. I think it was a redevelopment zone over in the Western Addition. And she just contacted us. She's had multiple problems with her financing over the years, and we've tried to help her out. We've offered to give her various rent increases and payments, but now she's reached, I think, the end of her rope financially, and she has to sell. At least that's what she's told us. And I have some specific questions around this because I do believe we're not under the ordinance, so we're not protected very well. But I'd like to know when the 60 days notice begins to toll. Is it at the time that the landlord says they're going to sell, or is it actually when a sale is effectuated?
Well, that's a good question.
If you're referring to a 60-day notice terminating your tenancy, which you would probably get in this scenario, the notice is effective regardless of when the sale occurs, 60 days after it's served on you. You get a little extension of time if it's served by mail. But if it's handed to you, you've got to be out 60 days later. If it's sent to you by mail, you've got to be out 65 days later.
You get an extra 5 days.
You get an extra 5 days for the mailing. And when I say you've got to be out, that's if you intend to comply with a notice. If you have a reason to believe that you don't need to comply with a notice, then you wouldn't move and you'd risk the threat of eviction that's going to be contained in the notice.
Do both of you, however, agree with Jeff that this home, is this a single-family home, is it, Jeff?
It's a 30-unit condominium.
30-unit condominium. Mark, do you agree that this is probably not covered by the San Francisco Rent Ordinance?
If it was built after June of 1979, first occupied by then, it's definitely not covered.
Right. So it is not. Yeah. You know, Jeff, I think also I'd like to suggest to you, the program doesn't get any more funding if I mention the Bar Referral Service once or twice or five times. My goal as a lawyer, and I've been a lawyer a long time, I'm a consumer advocate. I've been doing that for 30-some-odd years at the DA's office in San Mateo County. I think it would be wise for you to call the Lawyer Referral Service for San Francisco County and get an appointment to meet with an attorney who represents tenants. And for half an hour, you'll pay $35. And I think it's a great investment, and it may give you some insight into what you may think you want to do. Do you want the phone number, or did you get it?
I did get it earlier, and I appreciate the advice. I think it's good advice. I'm a non-practicing attorney, and
the first
thing I learned in law school was if you don't know about a subject, you go and hire an attorney.
Oh, I agree with you. No, I think that's really crucial. Are you an active member of the state bar or inactive?
I'm inactive, and I work for legal services companies.
Oh, do you? Really? Well, Jeff, I really think it would be worth it for you to call the Lawyer Referral Service, make that appointment. I think it's for $35. It's an incredible investment that may be helpful to you in some way. What are you paying in terms of rent per month right now?
We currently pay $2,100, about a 1,400-square-foot two-bedroom, two-bath place. It's a wonderful unit. But I do have a follow-on question. I don't want to monopolize time.
Go ahead.
Relevant.
Go ahead.
The question, we're in a hot neighborhood served by a lot of the tech buses. Assuming that when...
That's what's happening. Yeah.
It's going to sell quickly.
Oh, sure.
And, the question that I have about kind of getting things going forward is, if we were to get an agreement in place with the landlord to maybe give us an extension, like give us 6 months before she lists it, because let's face it, Google and Twitter aren't going away anytime soon, would that be effective if a sale were in place once she transferred the ownership? I mean, would the new landlord, I assume, would have to abide by at least the 6-month lease or the 1-year lease if we could get her to sign that?
That's a very good question. What do you say, Mark?
Sure. A lease is a lease, and whoever owns the building has to abide by it. The thing to bear in mind is just because a building is being sold doesn't mean that the tenants have to be evicted. I mean, buildings are sold all the time with tenants in them. A lot of landlords believe, and it's probably true, that the place is worth more if it can be delivered empty. But that typically, at least in my opinion, would apply to a smaller building, a single-family home perhaps, as opposed to, you know, a 30-unit building. The cash flow is one of the things that an investor is going to look at.
Yeah.
And that means they want tenants in there paying rent. And the fact that the landlord lives out of state probably means she's not real familiar with what goes on in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully she'll get a realtor who will educate her.
Yeah.
How many units did you say were in the building, Jeff?
There's 30 total, and I will tell you that when they were built, I think it might have been in a redevelopment zone, just on the edge of the Western Addition in the hot NOPA neighborhood now. And it was originally built and sold at $189, and they're now selling sub $1 million by just...
Oh, sure.
Right.
Of course.
So
yeah.
You're in a multiple-unit building. In my opinion, you're not a target for an eviction. Why would they want you out? It's not a single-family home. It's not their dream home. That's when owners want to live in the property, when it's their dream home, typically.
Yeah.
You're not in anybody's dream home. You're in a 30-unit building. What's most likely going to occur to you and all the other tenants is there's going to be a rent increase because the new owner's paying a lot of money for the place, and the landscape has changed completely now. The taxes are going to go up, probably the insurance. So those costs are going to be passed along. And they would be passed along in some measure under the rent control ordinance as well, because landlords can apply to the rent board for relief from the system that's normally in place when they purchase a building and they have a higher mortgage and increased expenses all at once like that. So,
and Jeff, I have something I want to say, and I am not a landlord-tenant attorney. This is Chuck, by the way. It sounds to me, because I've been monitoring rents in San Francisco, sounds to me that the $2,100 a month is kind of low for 1,400 square feet, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to move on. We do have a lot of other people who want to talk to my guests. Thanks very much for calling. And do call Lawyer Referral, will you?
Thank you again, and appreciate all the hard work.
Yeah, take care, Jeff.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Let me mention one other thing to you, everybody, before we take another call. Tomorrow, that's September 11th, there's a free noontime lecture on attorney-client relationships. So if you get an attorney and you're not happy with that attorney, you need to go to this. It's entitled The Attorney-Client Relationships, What to Do When the Relationship Sours. It starts at noon tomorrow at the San Mateo County Law Library. And attorney John Blackman from the firm of Farbstein and Blackman will discuss practical issues in attorney-client relationships in a one-hour lecture at the library. And you're invited to attend the free presentation. You can bring your lunch if you like. The County Law Library, San Mateo County Law Library, is at 710 Hamilton Street in downtown Redwood City, across the street from the Hall of Justice, which is on Marshall Street. If you'd like some more information, call early tomorrow morning at 650-363-4913, 650-363-4913, and get a little more information. But that's tomorrow, starting at noon. Okay, we have 1415-841-4134 for your legal rights, and we have, I think, Cindy at this point. Cindy, or pardon me, I'm sorry, Kathy. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, I'm calling on behalf of a friend who's my house cleaner, and he is 78 years old and from Hong Kong.
Hmm.
He doesn't speak English that well. He doesn't have a computer, doesn't know how to use the internet, and so I'm just trying to help him because he recently was given notice. He lives in Daly City and has 3 months' notice. He has to move out, and this is for the second time since I've known him. He's had to leave his home. And he's in Daly City. He has to move out in 3 months. And he's 78 years old and doesn't make a lot of money. And I'm afraid that there's not much hope for him. But I'm wondering, does he have any legal recourse as a senior citizen? He's just been, I believe, on a month-to-month lease. And he's only been in the place for 4 years.
And as far as you know, there's not a rent ordinance in Daly City?
There definitely is not.
Kathy, there's no rent ordinance. You know, do you have any idea what kind of income your house cleaner makes a year, what his net income may be?
Not that much.
Not much. You know, you might suggest that, and you can help him with this, that he might contact Legal Aid Society, San Mateo County Legal Aid Society, and see if there may be one of the attorneys there who might give him some insight on this. Go ahead, Mark, please.
The fact that he's elderly isn't necessarily at issue, but an attorney might want to look into the grounds for the eviction.
Yeah.
Is it simply because the landlord wants more rent? That's probably perfectly legal in Daly City. If it's on the grounds that the landlord is discriminating against him, perhaps because of his ethnicity or his age, there might be grounds to fight it that way. So he really needs to talk to an attorney.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree. And as a backstop, he might want to start, somebody might want to help him start looking for another place to live just so he can see how much he might want to fight this. Maybe he can find another place to live at comparable rent because there is no rent control for him and his rent hasn't been protected for these 4 years. He's been, at some point, he might have went in at market rent. And he might be close to that now. So it might not be as devastating to him as it could be to a tenant that was under rent control for, a long period of time.
Kathy, since you are so concerned about your house cleaner, and I think that's really worthwhile, you might really help him by calling San Mateo County Legal Aid and see if they do have someone who might be able to talk with him. The other thing I'd like to suggest to you is the San Mateo County Bar Association has attorneys who do pro bono work. Pro bono mean for nothing or very low rates. And I think you might want to call, tell them that you were listening to Your Legal Rights, which is funded by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Call 650-369-4149 and tell them you were listening to this program and that Chuck Finney suggested you call down there to find out if they might be able to help this this man with an attorney who would be willing to do some pro bono work for him.
I'll do that.
Yeah, please do that. Okay,
Thank
Kathy.
You. That's been great.
Good luck.
Well,
thanks for trying to help this elderly person.
Great.
That's great of you. All right, Cindy, it's your turn. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I live in Contra Costa County, and I moved out of my single-family rental at the end of May, after receiving a 60-day notice because my landlords wanted to sell, they did not return my deposit to me, and I contacted them. And on the 22nd day, thank goodness, from what I've read, they sent me an estimate charging me for the rehabilitation of the landscaping on their property, and they deducted the deposit and then are charging me an additional $1,000.
So when you talk about the deposit, this is the security deposit, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And there's no, is there a rent ordinance covering the property you were living in?
There's none there, Chuck.
Okay, all right. What comments do we have?
I would head straight to the small claims court in Contra Costa County. No, seriously, I mean, you cannot deduct for things like general wear and tear, certainly to the landscape. That's hard to imagine how you could be responsible for, I mean, unless you were out there digging up plants, which seems unlikely to me. The landlord has to recount within and refund any unexpended portion within 21 days of the date that you vacate.
They gave me the estimate on the 22nd day, and in my lease, it did say that I was in charge of taking care of the yard, but I had let them know that the drip system had died.
Oh.
It stopped working.
Yeah.
I had let them know that.
Did you have it in writing? Cindy?
I didn't because I trusted them.
Okay.
I would say that you are not responsible for maintaining the plumbing system on those premises. That is the landlord's responsibility.
Yeah.
And you really, really should go to small claims court. Yeah. I think you'll find the judge very sympathetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you I had sent them a certified letter explaining things and trying to work it out because we'd always have a very good relationship, and they didn't even pick up my certified mail, which
oh
my. I'm hearing you say,
wow.
Yeah, it was kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing you say is don't bother trying to communicate directly with them again. Just go straight to small claims court.
Obviously, if you can settle it with them informally, you're better off. You're saving the time and aggravation. But my experience is you're going to go to small claims court and you're going to win.
And you know, Cindy, all small claims courts, all counties have legal advisors for the small claims court. So what you need to do is find out in Contra Costa County when the legal advisor for the small claims court is available. And if you have questions, you want to make yourself available and go at that point and have a chance to talk to the small claims advisor, who usually is a lawyer. And so I think you really need to explore this. My suggestion is also I think it would be helpful for you if you want to and you don't want to have your own book, I think you should go to your local public library in the consumer section and look up Nolo's California Tenants' Rights book and take a look at that and try to educate yourself there. But certainly, you know, do some more work on this and try to educate yourself and then file your small claims action. Yeah. Yeah.
So I just called on the web. I can find small claims in.
You certainly can. You certainly can. Even if you call information, the information operator, and you say, "I would like to find out for Contra Costa County the phone number for the small claims court," the information operator. Mark is saying, I don't think that'll happen.
You can't,
maybe not anymore.
Getting through to a live person calling a court in the Bay Area is an achievement if you can do it.
My
advice is go to your local courthouse and ask.
Good point. Yeah, you can do that, Cindy. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
I guess I'm an idealist, and there's not much room left for idealists anymore in this,
not in
this
court
world.
System,
not in this world. What we're going to do is take one more call, I think, and I think that is Phil. And you better be good, Phil. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call, and good evening to everyone.
Hi.
So the question I have is, the building I live in, there are 12 units.
Where are you living?
Pardon me?
Where are you? What city?
In San Francisco.
Rent ordinance?
Yeah. It's,
okay.
The building's a very old building. It's about 100 years old,
okay.
12 units. The landlord, his brother is the contractor that's been doing work on this place. And what's been going on is that the contractor, again, who is the brother of the landlord, has failed to pull any permits on all the work that he's done, and has caused general upset for every tenant in the building. For instance, a real quick example, he did a whole bunch of interior work without attaching a vacuum bag to the sanders, and so the dust got all over the interior of the building. And many people were experiencing allergic reactions to this.
Oh,
so
my.
I called a building inspector. I called code enforcement. I called the state licensing contractors board. And what stunned me about all of this, the board even came out and issued this guy a stop work order on some of the work he was doing because of all the violations. He never stopped.
Oh, my.
So my general question is this. The landlord knew about all this stuff.
Yeah.
I was calling the landlord, and by the way, it's all been writing letters to this guy, to the landlord, explaining the situation. And the landlord keeps telling me, well, you know, I can't help it. He's going to do what he wants to do.
That's you know, there's a term for that I'm not going to use on the air, but that's ridiculous, Phil. Phil, we can't take any more facts. One is I want you to call lawyer referral.
Yeah.
San Francisco Lawyer Referral, 415-989-1616.
Okay.
Make an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants.
Right.
Yeah, find out what your facts are. I think, frankly, you'll end up suing both the landlord and his brother. Go ahead, Mark.
I just want to make one comment. Follow up with the building inspector, because the building inspectors in San Francisco, if they issued a citation and told him to stop and he didn't, they will really go after him. That landlord will stop, I assure you.
Good luck to you. We got to move on, Phil.
Thanks. Keep up the good work.
I want to thank you both very much for joining us on the program. Wonderful having you back here, Mark Seidenfeld, Sal Timpano.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the wonderful work that you do in supporting this program and this station. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding of this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and the California Applicants Attorneys Association. Next week, we're going to have Program 2 of Estate Planning for Your Golden Years. So if you want to figure out what are you going to do during your golden years, tune us in next week. Thank you very much for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.